Well, let's just read those familiar words from Luke chapter 2. Read the first 20 verses of that chapter. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Well, it was on the 11th of December, 2 weeks ago, when our letterbox rattled and there was a thud on the doormat, and the Radio Times double issue for Christmas and New Year had arrived. So it's always quite interesting to have a look, see what's coming up on the television, radio, over Christmas period. So I began to browse through it. Let's see what we've got in here. Oh, you know who that is? National Treasure, Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench. We have about a four-page spread about Judy Dench. Lovely. What's this? Death in Paradise. I don't know if any of you watch that. That's coming up, apparently. Oh, Call the Midwife. Yep, that's got a Christmas special. Strictly, of course, is going to have a Christmas special. Maybe they've already had it. Was it yesterday? I'm not sure. The Archers. Anyone listen to the Archers on the radio? The Archers, it's got something Christmassy going on. Something called Amanda Land. I'm not sure what that is. Shaun the Sheep. Yeah, we all love Shaun the Sheep. All sorts. Oh, some more children's things. Something called The Scarecrow's Wedding. I don't know what that's going to be about, but I expect the children will love that. Oh, A Ghost Story for Christmas, The Room in the Tower. Lots of exciting. Hang on a minute. Isn't Christmas meant to be about Jesus? I haven't come across anything about Jesus yet. Let me go on. Maybe we'll find it soon. Bound to be something. Goodbye, June. I don't know what that is. Oh, Kate Winslet, some film maybe. I'm not sure. That's still about Kate Winslet, maybe. Oh, The Celebrity Apprentice. Yeah, they've got a Christmas special. Everyone has a Christmas special, don't they? Old David Attenborough, yeah, he's got something called Wild London. Shame that David doesn't really recognise the creator of these amazing animals and creatures that he tells us all about. Something here about Disney. Yeah, Disney's always popular at Christmas. So nothing about Jesus. Life After Today, or that's an interview with Michelle Hussein, who left the Today programme on the radio. Amadeus, that must be about Mozart. Yeah, I think that's a film or something about Mozart. Oh, what's this? We have a man in a cassock. So maybe at last we're getting to the Christian bit. Oh, this is called Conclave, and it's all about the way they elected the new Pope. Nothing particularly Christmassy about that. Okay. Right, here we are. Page 58, partway through this page, there is a short message by Bishop Marianne Budd. Marianne Budd urges us to embrace love and hope this Christmas. Now we're getting to the heart of the matter. Right, good. And on this page, it lists four Christmas programs. There's a festival of nine lessons and carols on Radio 4, Carols from Kings on BBC 2, Royal Carols Together at Christmas with the Princess of Wales, and, oh, that's the end of Christmas. New Year's Day, the Archbishop of Canterbury elects New Year message. Well, that's a good start. Okay, nothing particularly evangelical there, but anyway, there's good to see some Christian things there. There must be more. It must be just the start. So let's see what else there is. Oh, we're back to Tinseltown. Something to do with buttons, you know, buttons the character. Wake up, dead man. Don't know what that is. Daniel Craig. Oh, we've got the Royal Institution Christmas lectures on the radio. The Night Manager, that's a very popular program. Never seen it myself. I know it's very popular there. Doing a new series, I think. Big picture quiz. Something about Charles Dickens' ghost stories. Sport, of course, sport. A few chapter pages on sport, including 12 televised football matches. There's also horse racing, rugby union, cricket, the Ashes. We won't talk about that. So where's the rest of the Christian programmes? We're into streaming now, and I think I did count this earlier. I think there were 21 pages of streaming, and I did look through them. There was no Christian content there at all. It was just films and other things. And then we're into the schedule pages. So that page 58, where is it? Which is sort of two-thirds of a page. Seems to be the only Christian content in this mammoth Radio Times double issue. I guess it's a symptom of the secular society in which we live, isn't it? Where Christianity is pushed to the margins. And even at a major Christian festival like Christmas, Christmas is sort of sidelined and other things take priority. And it's easy for us as Christians to sort of get drawn into that worldly mindset. Now, of course, I don't want to be a pooper thing. There's a lot that we enjoy about the way that we celebrate Christmas in the UK. There is some good TV. I was interested to see that Call the Midwife, which is a very wholesome, lovely programme, is actually number one in the Radio Times selection for what to watch over Christmas. And All Creatures Great and Small, another lovely wholesome programme, is at number 3. The Repair Shop at Christmas comes in at number 9. So there is some good TV. There's some lovely things, and I'm sure other things that you enjoy too. And we're thankful for those things. We're thankful for good food. We like to really push the boat out, don't we, at Christmas, and make a really big thing of our Christmas food. And I don't think that's unbiblical. If you look at the Old Testament, the feasts that Israel were instructed to have, they were lavish. And so good food is a lovely thing to enjoy together. Of course, it's great, isn't it, to meet with family and friends, to receive and give cards, put up decorations. All these things give us cheer, and of course the sale of cards helps charities when they're done for a charity. Then there's presents, and again there's joy in both giving and receiving presents. Time off work, time to relax and spend time with family or friends is lovely. And what about games? I love games. I love board games, actually. It's my favourite. And I remember, I think it must have been probably our first Christmas, because when I was before I was married, sometimes I used to get given a game for Christmas. And on Christmas Day, I'd say to one or two people, fancy playing, I think, whatever it was. And we'd go off and play that. But I remember our first Christmas, I think it was the first one. I think I've been given the board game Risk, which is a game about sort of world domination and things like that. It goes on for a long, long time, because you think one person's winning, then it swings back the other way and somebody else is winning. And I think innocently said, oh, anyone fancy a game of Risk? And Anne told me, oh, Charlie, you can't do a board game on Christmas Day. It's a time for us all to be together. You can't hive off in the other room and play a board game. It's time for us all to be together. I've never forgotten that. But we do play games. We play things like charades and Ring on a String, you know that one, the chocolate game, things like that, that everybody can join in together and have fun. So there's some good things about the way we celebrate Christmas, isn't there? And we thank God for these wholesome blessings. But if our focus as we go through Christmas is on these things, really, although they're fun, they're lovely, we thank God for them, they are, in the end of the day, quite hollow. And they leave us with nothing lasting when we pack away the decorations in January. These things are long forgotten. And perhaps we can learn from Mary, who in verse 19 we read this, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. So what were these things that Mary treasured and pondered in her heart? You know, Mary had been through an amazing year, hadn't she? She would have thought back to that time at least 9 months previous, when she was just going about her daily tasks, maybe a bit of cleaning, washing up, I don't know, sweeping the floor, and suddenly this angel Gabriel appeared and gave her the unbelievable message that she was to bear God's son. Now, as she looks down at this tiny baby in her arms, she must have thought, can this really be God's son? So vulnerable, so dependent on her for nourishment. Can this tiny baby really be God's son? Did she imagine everything? Was it really, really true? But then she would recall how that soon after she'd visited her cousin Elizabeth. And she would remember how that when she went into Elizabeth's house, Elizabeth, who was also pregnant, the baby in her womb leapt, and Elizabeth felt that, and the baby leapt, and Elizabeth, realizing there was something special happening, said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Surely this was confirmation that she hadn't imagined all this about the angel, that something very special was happening. Even Elizabeth recognized that something special was happening. And then she'd probably remember the first time that she sort of felt something was different about her body. She couldn't quite be sure, but just felt there was something different. She'd have missed a period, and was something really happening? Up to now, it had just been words and promises. But as the child began to grow within her, she realized, no, this is very real. Something very real is happening to me. And then she'd remembered how worried she was trying to explain this to Joseph. What would Joseph think once she told him that she was expecting a baby? How would he react? She must have been very concerned about that. But amazingly, when she spoke to Joseph, or maybe Joseph told her first, I don't know, but Joseph had also been visited by an angel and told that the child that Mary was carrying was not his, not another man's, it was from God. She was bearing the Son of God. And when Mary realized that Joseph knew all about this, what a comfort that must have been to her to realize that she hadn't got to worry about what Joseph was thinking. She now had three independent witnesses to what this was all about. She had Joseph, she had Elizabeth, she had Elizabeth's baby, all reacting to the news that Mary was carrying the Son of God. And then she would have probably thought about the curveball that the Romans had thrown at them, the need to make that long and difficult journey down to Bethlehem in her condition. And when they arrived at Bethlehem, the concern that they had because they just couldn't find anywhere to stay. And there must have been a debate between her and Joseph when the only thing they were offered was this place where the animals lived and fed. Would they accept that offer? There didn't seem to be any other option. Maybe she recalled the prophecy in Micah that said that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, and maybe she realized this was all part of God's plan. And then, of course, just a few hours previous was that amazing moment when she gave birth to her son. She would recall how she had that first contraction. She said to Joseph, "Joseph, I think something's happening. I think the baby is on the way." And they looked around this place where the animals were. What are we going to do with the baby? And the only option was to place him in the manger where the animals fed. How she must have longed that she was back in Nazareth, her hometown, where she probably had a reasonably comfortable room with a bed, her mother maybe on hand to help her through her first birth. Wouldn't any teenage mother, because we believe she was probably in her teens, wouldn't any teenage mother want their mother there? But no, she was far away in Bethlehem and Joseph was by her side, but she must have been concerned how this was all going to turn out. And now she's had the appearance of these raggedy-tag shepherds with their breathless tales of having seen angels in the sky and angels praising God and an angel giving them this message that a saviour, the long-awaited Messiah, had been born in Bethlehem. This was amazing. Here was a totally independent group of people who knew nothing about them, and yet God had spoken to them too. Here was another group of independent witnesses to what was going on. And now the shepherds had left. And she and Joseph were alone again with this tiny baby. And she looked down at him, no doubt counting his fingers and toes yet again, watching him gently dozing. And she just knew that it was all true. The message that the angel had brought to her 9 months previous had come true. And this really was God's son in her arms. No wonder she treasured up these things. No wonder she pondered about them. She marveled at the wonder of it. And as the deep days and weeks passed and this child began to grow, she continued to ponder on all that had happened. Why had she been chosen by God for this amazing role? What would it mean for their family life? How could she ever raise this child into his teens and early manhood? So many thoughts, so many questions she must have had. But she had no doubt that this was God's doing, and she would trust him for all the future. Well, I don't know how you'll spend Christmas Day today. Perhaps enjoying fun with family or friends. probably enjoying some festive food, maybe going for a walk, perhaps playing some games or watching some Christmas TV. But whatever we do today, however we celebrate today, let's try and find some time in the day to stop, to pause, to wonder at the marvellous thing that God did at that very first Christmas. To treasure up these precious truths that God broke into our world to provide a way of salvation. To ponder afresh that God, in his mercy and his grace, has sent his Son into the world to be our Saviour. Let's, amidst all the merriment, all the fun, all the joy of sharing Christmas together, let's pause from time to time and just take in again the wonder of what God has done. May God bless you all and your families on this wonderful Christmas day. Lord, we pray indeed that this Christmas day, that our joy may be centred on what you have done for us. We thank you for the other things that give us joy, but Lord, most of all, we thank you that you sent your own Son into the world for us. Help us to never forget that and just to rejoice in all that you have done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.